What's going on, dude?
What is up? First and foremost, happy Rex Manning Day to all those who celebrate.
Oh man. Dude, it's been a crazy, wild wrestling weekend in our home facility.
Yeah, we were supposed to be there. Unfortunately, things didn't work out, but golly, what a weekend.
Two
action-packed days of WrestleMania. What was the other? Stand and Deliver was what, Thursday or Friday?
No, they actually did that Saturday morning, which is a weird time. Yeah, so they did it Saturday morning. I say morning. I think it started at like 11:30, maybe.
That's morning.
Yeah. and then it went into early afternoon, and then night when WrestleMania started at 6 or 7, whatever, and then night 2 at the same time. And then that also bookended with SmackDown and Raw. So, you know, you have a whole litany of events there. And here's the thing, too. In the area, you're not just talking about WWE. You're talking about other promotions running stuff, too. So it was just madhouse packed and full of wrestling in Philly or the Philly area.
Yeah. Not that I'll ever hear this, but congratulations to the Blue Meanie for tying the knot in a surprise marriage. I believe he kind of just popped it on his fiance. Like, they ended up getting married at Meanie Mania. So
yeah, that was pretty cool. I saw that. I'll be honest, man. I for whatever reason in my head, I was like, well, they've been together forever. I always thought they were just married, but
yeah.
No, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. But no, that was cool. That was basically toward the end of last week. He did that at his favorite local pub, McCusker's.
Yeah.
And you know, he was doing all sorts of stuff. He was doing tours of the 2300 Arena, formerly known as the ECW Arena, and doing all sorts of fun stuff. And I don't know if you heard of this one. I guess there was a indie Hall of Fame wrestling induction ceremony. I don't know if you heard about this or not. It was an independent. Okay, so, and I guess it's something that's run by one of the promotions, and I might be wrong in who I say this, but I want to say Game Changer might be doing it now. Could be wrong.
Yeah, it was GC.
Yeah, GCW might be doing it. Yeah. Cool. So the funny thing is that in Philly, they are going to induct Sabu, and guess who no-shows his own induction?
Is he alive?
Yeah, he's alive. He was actually at the hotel. So okay. I think the promoter came out and said, it's like, oh, yeah, he took his deposit and then never bothered to come downstairs for the ceremony.
Fucking Sabu.
Yeah, it's just more of the same. But no, so that's the other thing too. So you actually have the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony, which ran on after SmackDown, which I don't know. Here's the thing with that. I think they're going to have to figure out timing on that. The timing is just super late at this point comparatively to a lot of other events they run.
Yeah.
And everyone's just kind of like beat, and then you're kind of getting into WrestleMania mode, I guess, at the same point. So they're gonna have to figure that out. Like,
right,
maybe I get it, like you kind of have a captive audience that's watching SmackDown, but then how much of that audience is really staying? And if you read any of the reports about internal things, they were having the crowd at the arena move down and fill in seats for the Hall of Fame ceremony because a lot of people left.
Right.
It's like, you know, so you have to figure something out there. So it was like the one thing they had all weekend where it wasn't like basically a mass sellout. And it's the timing. It's just bad timing.
I mean, like, look, you and I are going to stay for something like that. But maybe people who are, you know, fans but not super fans, or people who had kids, like, if we'd have gone and taken the boys up, you know, maybe we're a little bit more tempted to leave. But that's, you know, that's to be expected, honestly. that people would check out. Now, obviously, we would have to stay because of Paul Heyman.
Of course, yeah. And, it, you know, being in Philly, it's obviously a smart move. Induct him there. Nowhere else makes sense. You know, and then, of course, you do have an appearance of The Rock, and then him getting that People's Champion title and all this cool stuff that does go on. But at the same point, you know, your hour of the day is just so late. It's like the ceremony's running, what, a couple of hours?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're getting into, like, beyond midnight, I guess, the time you're wrapping that all up. You know, it's just, yeah, it makes for a long day, and especially if you're a fan. I mean, you most likely have, at that point, have been there for 7-8 hours. So,
yeah. And if anybody who's listening hasn't figured it out by now, this is probably going to be an entirely wrestling-centric episode, so just save yourselves the time.
Yeah, feel free to just pop onto another episode. but no, we have to, because Russell, I mean, look, I think this was one for the ages in sense of, and they keep saying, you know, that I think you could throw around the greatest WrestleMania moniker quite a bit. Casual fan aside, this is one that if you watch this draws you right back in.
Yeah.
You know, it was really good. So I know you got to watch some of it. You know, did you have any takeaways from either of the nights that just really stood out to you that was, you know, boom, this really has me hooked?
Night one with Sammy winning the IC title. I thought the whole lead up with Chad Gable training him and everything and all the stuff that they did, and then walk out following him through Gorilla and everything, and him bumping into people, and then especially Kevin Owens at the right at the end. Dude, I was fired up. Every time Dreams and Nightmares played, I was ready to run through a wall. You know, there was some really, the problem with night one for me was I was at work, and so I wasn't able to watch like as intently as I would have liked. But dude, yeah, it was, what I saw was amazing. I'm very jealous. I know a lot of people who were there, and I'm very, very jealous. But it just looked like everything looked incredible. The only thing that sucks is because it was, you know, Philly, and the weather is not exactly cooperative this time of year. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold, sometimes it starts, you know, hot and then gets cold. And that was the case for Saturday. Was, I think it was like 40 degrees, somewhere in that range when they're out there. So the crowd was not as hot as I would hope they would be. And I'm sure as hot as the WWE thought they would be, because it sounded at least, and again, I'm watching on my iPad, I'm watching at work, I'm not exactly, you know, watching on the surround sound system and able to actually enjoy the ambiance.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed to me like they were a little bit dead. And that was what I was seeing online too, was people like, man, this crowd sucks. But at the same time, like, what do they want them to do? They want them to be singing the whole damn time.
Right.
And then they got off when people sang the Hey Bailey.
Yeah, it's crazy. The weather definitely, I think, tamped it down a bit. Night two was a lot hotter. Night one crowd, I'm not, you know, and again, I kind of go back, if you really, I guess, kind of retrospectively look at how the matches were for night one, you see, you know, some good quality content. Every match was decent. I don't know that I would say that anything was a 5-star spectacular thing, but everything that included the main event gets the job done. Right. You set the table for night two, and I think they even said that basically, you know, in the broadcast.
Did you say they set the head of the table?
Yeah, there you go. but no, that's exactly kind of what happened. They you know, it was solid. But again, I think you're right. The weather definitely takes and makes a difference with the crowd. It was, like I said, like you said, 50, mid-50s, when the wind chill, or the feels like, whatever you want to call it, was in the 40s. it, you know, like it's a different story going to a football game where it's like you're always animated over some hype, you know, really cool play, because your downtime is not nearly the same as like a long extended wrestling event. You have a lot of downtime. So yeah, you're not going to be quite as amped up. But the weather was better on night two, and you could definitely tell a difference. Crowd was hot. Now, again, you also had other things that happened with like the Priest cash in.
Yeah.
That was huge, and that definitely popped the crowd. And then you also had, obviously, you know, the Cody win. I mean, we'll get into that one. So you had
I was from night one. Sorry, I was watching. I was at work, so it was a little harder to take it all in. But night one, Motionless in White playing Rhea Ripley out. Thought that was awesome. I thought that match was really good, and the Jimmy and Jey Uso match. Like I've said before, I was never a huge fan of them as a tag team, but honestly, I like them now that they have individual personalities, and they're, you know, going against each other was really good. And then obviously Jason and Lane showing up and helping out the Mysterios.
Yeah, yeah, and
that was Mysterio, I should say.
Yeah, and that was pretty easily telegraphed with Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson coming out. Ray comes out wearing the Eagles emblazoned pants. So it was like, okay, if they're gonna make an appearance, it's going to be pretty soon. So
yeah, because Ray himself is a Chargers fan.
Yeah, and here's the crazy thing. So a lot of the people, but several of the wrestlers' attire had some of the, you know, the Eagles green or some kind of nod to it. I think Logan Paul, actually, even him, he was black and green himself there. He was wearing
A-Town Down Under. Grayson Waller, I'm fairly certain, was wearing an Eagles hoodie.
Yeah, he might have been. So there were several of the wrestlers that actually were, you know, paying homage to, you know, where they were at, which, you know, for better or worse.
Yeah.
But no, that was yeah, and truth be told, maybe the biggest pop at night one was probably when Kelce and Lane pop out. So
yeah,
I mean, but yeah, otherwise it was kind of a dead crowd. But it has nothing to do with the crowd itself. It was just, you know, I don't know. I just think it wasn't a great environment. And I think that's the thing you run into. The weather up there is not going to be great that first week of April.
Right.
You're not going to get the nighttime 65, 70 degrees.
Dude, you know what I'm thinking? They might have to start doing an entire just line of Funko Pops called the Jason Kelce Adventures. And like they've got the one that's coming out of him with the shirt off at the Chiefs and Bills game. They might have to do one with him in a luchador mask. You know, they can have the shirtless variant, you know, like they could really take this and run with it and make some money.
Yeah. They never did one with him and the Mummers, did they?
No, they need to do one with him and the Mummers. Oh, and the Mummers coming. Well, we'll get to night two.
But yeah, no, it was cool. And then the main event was really good. Again, like I said, it set the table. Obviously it makes sense. Look, obviously The Rock is going to go over in that one to get that bloodline rules, that no DQ stuff out there for night two. I mean, you can see that one coming. It was interesting. And I will say, you know, the match itself was pretty good. It wasn't like, you know, out of this world by any stretch, but it was fun to watch. And, you know, The Rock's The Rock. It really hasn't lost a step. And, you know, just a good old nostalgia there to close out night one.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, and there was a lot going on. But night two, I feel like, really is where things took off. Right from the jump, you know, you open up with a huge match with Seth and Drew McIntyre. I almost said Drew Galloway. So
yeah, close enough. Almost same guy.
Almost used his real life name. But you know, Drew McIntyre, and what a great match. CM Punk sits commentary, and CM Punk just the whole time is talking shit, which was fantastic. We had some really good commentators on night two. So Seth ends up losing the title. And what I thought was really cool, and I don't know if they meant to catch us on TV, but they did, was Seth, like, in tear, like, near tears, happy tears, looking at Drew McIntyre, and saying, "You fucking deserve this."
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. And then, of course, saying you are Money in the Bank, one Mr. Damian Priest, Paulsboro's, well, the Monster Factory's own, cashes in and takes the title.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's funny because it really, you know, Drew's moment was at the Mania in front of no fans.
Yeah.
And so he gets his big win over Brock Lesnar there, but there's no one there. And so it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have the same impact. So it's like, oh, now you got your world title win. And guess what happens? Like 3 minutes later, it's out of your hands. And it's I don't know. It does one of two things. One, it tells me either A, he's going away, or B, this sets the table for him to really win it big in 41 or, you know, sometime in the future.
Right, right. And I think what they'll probably do is, you know, I really don't know, because I want to say they want him to win it as a heel or as a face, but I don't know that you can really quickly turn him face right now, considering the fact that he's feuding with CM Punk.
Yeah, no, this will be a obviously a non-title feud. Doesn't have to be a, you know, title in the picture for either of those guys at this point, especially with Punk. I think part of it too, and Punk actually, I believe, brought this up during a promo, is, you know, you're the chosen one, and it's like, say his name. Who called you the chosen one?
Yeah, he's like, what? He said, what paragon of virtue named you the chosen one?
Yeah, and it's just crazy. And it's like, part of me thinks too, though, it's like, well, I mean, that could be I hate to say it for Drew's sake, but it could be a good way to distance himself out for a little while. It's like, let's not give this guy a title because, you know, let's just see what happens here.
yeah. But so that was cool. I love seeing CM Punk get involved. And I made a big deal out of throwing out the CM Punk shirt, the AEW CM Punk shirt. And I think that I'm starting to realize, and, you know, I think we've talked off pod about this and probably a little on pod too, I think it's just that I don't like AEW anymore. You know, I like certain people in the company, Danhausen, Samoa Joe, Keith Lee, Brian Danielson, Claudio Castagnoli, pretty much the whole BCC, and, you know, Edge and Christian,
mm-hmm.
and Adam Cole. Like, I like the performers, but I don't like the company. I don't like the direction it's headed. I don't like the Bucks. I don't like Hangman. You know, and I don't necessarily like Tony Khan at this point, is what I'm finding. Not necessarily that I think he's a bad person, but I just don't think that he's... It's almost like this is just basically his toy box, and he's like essentially one of the YouTuber kids that, like, hey, look, and he has all of his wrestling figures, and he's like, look, what if this guy did this, and what if this guy did this, and this guy helped out this guy, and so, like, I don't know, I just can't, like, I'm getting rid of stuff because I have, you know, I gotta cut down on what I have so I can move, and I found myself parting with AEW stuff.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, you know, and we have a thing coming in, and we'll make sure that this is posted here relatively soon, the next day or two. But coming out here on this week's Dynamite, one of the things that was announced was we're going to air the footage of the altercation of the All Out between CM Punk and Jack Perry.
Right.
And it's like, this guy's not in your company anymore. Jack Perry hasn't done anything for AEW in who knows how long. And it's like, that's what's going to draw viewers.
Right.
Like,
it's like when they came out and said, hey, guess what? This is what's going to happen on Raw tonight. Mick Foley's going to win. And it's like, didn't you learn from WCW's mistake?
Yeah.
Like, WCW was a highly profitable and successful company at that point. You're having trouble selling 2,000 tickets.
Yeah.
And that's what you're...
You're going to do it to yourself, basically, is now you're going to be like, oh, that's what they're airing, so I'll just go watch a WrestleMania replay or something.
Right.
I mean...
Isn't NXT still on Wednesdays?
No, they're on Tuesdays. Yeah, they are Tuesday. But there's plenty of other content out there now. I mean, heck, I could flip and watch the rest of the Bray Wyatt documentary. I can watch anything else I haven't watched Stand and Deliver yet. I could kick on anything else at this point. And I, at the same way, I look at their roster, and there are wrestlers I like. There are wrestlers that I absolutely, you know, think the world of that. You know, whether it's misuse or the storylines aren't there, or there's just something that I don't know. Like, it to me, this was one of those cases where you have such a hot start, you're riding a wave of success, and then I don't know that I've seen something crash and burn as hard as this is going to, basically, because that's exactly where it's headed.
Well, I mean, dude, I was, when it came out, I was so excited to have an alternative. I was so ready, and I was backing it as much as I could. I was watching everything that I could. I was all the stuff online. I was buying the shirts. I got a hoodie. You know, like, I went to a show. I actually took Peyton to a show, and it was a great time. But at this point, I'm just kind of like, what are you guys even doing? Like, it's just not, it doesn't make any sense.
It's the curse of Jeff Jarrett, man.
What's that?
The curse of Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah. Well, hey. It's true, though. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, Ric Flair? Really? Fucking Flair is getting screen time on your show? Why? Why is he getting it? Do I agree with everything WWE is doing? No, I don't. I fucking hate the fact that there's a Prime logo in the middle of the ring. That drives me crazy. But at the same time, like, that's the least of my worries, because at least the product is good.
Right. And the other thing, too, it's like, it sucks that it's there, but pretty much every other major event, sporting event, is got ads plastered all over it in the first place. So at this point, you know, I always go back to Major League 2, and they pop out and they finally show, like, oh, hey, they got the big ads on the outfield walls, because that was so uncommon back then. Right. And they're making fun of it. Well, you fast forward 30 years, everywhere has it. Uniforms have ads on them. This isn't anything new. It just, professional wrestling has, like, always been ad driven. Anyone that's watched it for the last 20, 30 years, this is sponsored by Slim Jim. This is sponsored by Snickers. This is whatever. Heck, every match yesterday and Saturday was sponsored by a different entity.
Right.
You know, it's just the way it is. I mean, I hate it, but I mean,
you can do nothing to change it.
No. I mean, it's, you know, at least it's not that big garish red, white, and blue bottle.
Right.
At least it's blended in a little better.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. So, and then we'll get back to, well, let's go forward more on night two.
Yeah. So, Damian Priest cashed in, as you said. And then we roll into a, Philadelphia street fight, with the Pride, which consists of, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits.
Oh, whoa. Put some respect on that name. That's the Almighty.
Yeah. I'm sorry. And then they were against the Final Testament of Karrion Kross and the Authors of Pain, and they all had their respective valets, managers, whoever, as well. But the cool thing for this one was, this was kind of an unexpected, the special guest referee was somebody that I threw out there, was like, that I didn't think you'd actually show up. Was Mr. Bubba Ray Dudley himself.
Yeah, and it was good. Did you see Montez Ford, though, in the pre-match vignette, was dressed up basically like Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, I did see that.
He had the same chain. He had the Eagles green turtleneck. He was looking slick. But the best part of the entire match, besides Bubba, all respect to Bubba, and all respect to Montez for that insane spot.
Yeah, that he was probably about 6 inches or a foot away from that being a real problem.
Yeah. Was Snoop on commentary.
Oh, that was so good. He needs to commentate every match.
Dude, I want there to be for WWE how there's the Manning cast for Monday Night Football. I need there to be the Snoop cast.
Yes. 100%, man. He was so good. And it was funny because, like, he was getting into it, but then, like, some of the stuff he was saying is like, have you ever watched a wrestling match before? It's like, it's like you literally competed here.
He was, what the fuck did he say? But he was like constantly just basically like making allusions to getting high and asking Michael Cole if he understood what he said. He's like, yeah, Snoop, I've known you for 20 some years. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep. Oh, it was so good though. Yeah. No, he added to that. And then the, like I said, I love, you know, the inclusion in there of Bubba Ray. And then especially when he just whips out the glasses.
Yeah,
and pops them on, and then they basically do the whole Dudley shtick. You know, the Lashley and the Street Profits doing all that, and it was good. It was fun. There was good spots. There was the one table spot though, between
Deep Ab
was it her? Was that the match? Or no? Am I thinking that match? I might be wrong.
I know what you're talking about. Where the table broke before.
No, I can't remember now. I get confused with these two. But there was a table spot where the two girls went through the table on the outside. But that might not have been them, because I don't think
it was. No, it was.
It was them. Okay, it was. I thought it was. Yeah. That was, and that, to me, that spot was about as any good as table spot as was on both nights of WrestleMania.
Yeah, it definitely was.
And then, but yeah, the one you talked about, Montez, you know, shooting himself out to the outside of the ring, man, that was crazy. He's always been one of my favorites. I think since, you know, his early days in NXT. And the thing I really liked about him was that he came in NXT, he was like super green. So he's basically learned on the fly this entire time. And he's just athletic as all get out. But, you know, it's fun to watch. But yeah, he really shot himself there. And it was like, my goodness, like, dude, like, you could have really gotten hurt if that barricade was just in a little bit more.
I'm telling you right now, he has all the talent in the world. He has world champion written on him.
Yeah.
If they handle him right.
Yep. Yeah, he does. And I think they are. I think they're doing a good job right now, still protecting with the tag team. And it's, don't get me wrong, I say protect. It's a hot tag team. It has been pretty much since day one. So they know what they're doing with that one. So you get into LA Knight over AJ Styles. I mean, I think we all knew that LA Knight was going to go over in that one.
Right.
I'll be honest, kind of like all the matches, at least of night two, that was probably the one that really, just not a whole lot for me on that one. I don't know why. Just was kind of dead, maybe middle of the show.
Yeah, I think it was one of those, like, middle of the show. You just came off of that huge spot with Bubba and the Street Profits and the almighty Bobby Lashley. You know, so you had a hot match, and then that's kind of like the come down match. And I'll be honest with you, like, I fell asleep towards the end of that match. And no disrespect to LA Knight or AJ. I really like LA Knight. AJ, I'm kind of meh, but I really do like LA Knight. Love to watch him perform, but I was just wiped. I wasn't feeling good. So yesterday was, as much as I did watch, like, I ended up falling asleep in that match, and I think I slept through the match with Kevin Owens and Randy Orton and Logan Paul.
Yeah, so. Again, that was another one that it sucks because, you know, obviously I love KO. You know, Randy Orton, you know, I'll tune in to pretty much anything he does just because of, you know, it's just fun to watch.
Right.
You know, and Logan Paul's done some good spots, but I just still can't get into him as a wrestler, let alone a champion.
Right.
But again, we all kind of knew that was going to happen. Retain. I mean, as soon as you make that a triple threat, I mean, he's going to retain it. So it is what it is. Again, I wasn't like that much of a fan of it either. There was a couple cool things in there with the Prime Bottle guy got absolutely wrecked by Randy.
Nice.
The guy who's dressed in the Prime Bottle. Yeah, Randy Orton has absolutely tore him apart. That was kind of fun. But other than that, that was about it. the match before the main event was the singles match for the WWE Women's Championship, and Bayley won that over Io Sky. That was a great match and a great win too. So, and they told a good story, and that whole build was really good too. So, I don't know if you kind of watched any of the vignettes or was familiar with all that, but that was really well done.
Yeah, and I'm glad that Bayley won it and had her WrestleMania moment. It's been a long time coming. She definitely deserved it. So
Yeah. No, I remember there was an NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. Gosh, I can't remember the year. It's been several years now. But Bayley and Sasha Banks just tore it down. And I know they wrestled multiple times, you know, in the NXT days. And you know, obviously, when they got moved up. But I knew back then that this was, you know, destined for greatness type thing, and just a matter of time before Bayley got her time on the big stage to shine. And, you know, how cool is that to kind of, you know, basically be a capstone match into something that, yeah, we all were excited for Cody and Roman Reigns, obviously. But the that match itself was, and we'll get into it in detail, but had so much other stuff going on that it certainly wasn't a one-on-one. So
no. I mean, and look, I'm going to be honest with you. It was relatively tame to me compared to what I thought the Bloodline rules match would be. I really thought from the get-go it was going to be Solo and Jimmy and The Rock in the ring, or at least surrounding the ring from the jump, like acting like lumberjacks.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too, but no one was there. It was weird. Other than Heyman, he was about it. Of course, he's not going to do anything.
Right.
No, it was weird. I thought that too. And I was like, this is kind of weird, but maybe there's a reason for it. And yeah, there was a reason for it.
Yeah.
And that talked about another really good table spot. The Usos spearing themselves to death.
Oh, hell. Dude, I don't know how they're... I don't know how... Obviously, they protected them. But right. You can only protect yourself from gravity so much.
Yeah, and that was a high spot. And
that looked like it hurt.
Yeah.
I'm sure it did. You know.
That was High Spot. So they were the first ones out. So they kind of counteracted each other, and then basically canceled each other out because they really don't do anything for the remainder of the match, either right. of them. Then Solo comes out, and of course it's like a repeat of last year and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, let's here we go. And then a couple really close finishes. And you kind of knew that, like, it wasn't going to end there, mainly because The Rock hadn't come out yet. And you didn't have, you know, some of these other things that we kind of were thinking about with some of these other guys that may show up to help. But it's like, well, you know, maybe they're just going to do more of the same. And they didn't, you know, and a couple close finishes there, and Cody kicks out, and man, and that was kind of off the races, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to lie. I stupidly, in my head, because Moxley hasn't been seen on TV for a while on AEW, when the Shield's music played, I really thought Seth was going to come out and he was going to get taken out right away. But then Ambrose was going to be standing behind Reigns and tap him on the shoulder and then take him down. Obviously, that didn't happen. But I really thought that that was going to – I thought that, that was going
to happen. Talk about a way to play into the crowd and the audience, though.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, is he really here? I thought the same thing. I mean, it's like – then I thought, there's no way. Absolutely no way. But the cool thing is with Seth come out just like looking like old Seth.
Yeah. You know,
after his match where he's all get out in the Mummer's gear and then he comes out looking like Shield Seth. Like,
it's just funny. We didn't talk about the fucking Mummers.
No, we didn't. We didn't.
No,
I've come to find out that I didn't really know anyone there, so
all right.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
It was really cool. It was really cool. They had Mummers that came out with Seth for his entrance.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was awesome. They heck of an entrance, and that was probably one of my favorite entrances of the entire two days, if not my favorite.
But yeah, so then you have The Rock. Comes out and he gets counteracted by none other than John Cena.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. You know, and then of course, you know, it doesn't quite work out all the way.
Yeah.
For old Cena there, but you know, The Rock stands tall. You know, and it's looking bleak for Cody. And in my whole time, I'm thinking the only one that really realistically made sense was Stone Cold. You know, not thinking.
That's what I was thinking too.
You know, I mean, you're in Philly. You got, you know, I know a lot of people don't perceive Austin as an ECW guy, but he was.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, this makes the most sense. You know, a couple stunners right off into the sunset. Done deal, and then they just hit the magic button on one of the best swerves I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they hit the button, and MJF came out,
yeah.
And you know, it's all history from there. Now they hit the button, and it's the dead man himself, and man. The lights go out. Taker's in the ring, standing behind The Rock. Hits him with the I don't even remember what he hit him. Was it a choke slam?
Yeah, it's a
choke slam. And
yeah, let's go back out, and he's gone. The Rock's gone, and then Cody finishes the job. Yeah, I mean, and so there's three crossroads, and Cody finally wins it for a Rhodes.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Good match, good finish, and just very well done with all the people coming out.
Yeah.
This, you know, for a one-on-one match that obviously they went into it with no DQ rules, but yeah, that just, I think, yeah, the nice little swerve there thinking that Moxley, Ambrose may come out, or, you know, the rumors with MJF, which I still honestly think there's a spot for him. Now that really retrospectively looking at, I don't think that you're going to debut him in the same match where you just ran out Cena, The Rock, and The Undertaker in succession.
Yeah. No. I definitely didn't expect to see him there. But I'll tell you what, I think he signed a contract with AEW.
I think he signed an extension. Yeah.
Which sucks because I would love to see him in WWE. I think him and Heyman together would be fucking gold.
Oh yeah.
But
oh yeah.
I guess,
you know, and here's the thing too, now that this is all said and done with and not knowing exactly, you know, I would assume, you know, Seth is obviously, I believe, come out, he's gonna take some time off. I would imagine Roman will too. You know, not that he was, you know, I think he's more in prep mode, kind of like Cena and The Rock did, to move on to other things, other projects. And I'm not saying that he's of the same ilk, but never really thought that the acting chops of John Cena nor The Rock were initially either. So I really do think they're prepping Roman out for something like that, or he's prepping himself out.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like, okay, now you got to start, you know, saddle up your new guys and gals. And I don't know. I wonder, you know, who are the next ones to, like, someone's going to have to be given Heyman, right, as a mouthpiece. Somebody.
It's got to be Punk, right?
I would think so. But, you know, I don't know how much longer Punk's really on the shelf. You know, I don't know.
I think maybe with what he did the other night, he might be closer than we thought.
Yeah, you're likely right. I mean, that was kind of surprising too. He got physical, ripped the brace off, and did what he did. I did notice he was still protecting himself, and Drew never went after him afterward either. So,
yeah,
you know, I kind of wondered that a little bit. Like, I can get physical without having to get physical, if that makes sense.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I just noticed that he was still kind of, maybe I was wrong, maybe it's just the way I perceived it. He still kind of like maybe protected the arm a little bit.
Oh, no, he definitely did. I just think that maybe he's a little bit closer than we were led to believe.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm sure
it would make a lot of sense for him to go that way. I just, you know, I'm trying to think, like, you know, somebody younger might get that, but I don't know. I don't know, but it was all said and done. It was fun. And I think I said this to you last night. You know, that show, I know they're, like I said, when we started recording here, they were tabbing it themselves as the greatest WrestleMania of all time, whatever. And you know, yeah, that's debatable. But was it a perfect show? Absolutely not. But it was a really good card through and through and very well executed. And you watch that main event and you do one of two things. It's like you fall back in love with wrestling in general, but two, you realize how far ahead WWE really is. Here you have a match where you finally have a Rhodes winning a top title on the grandest stage of them all in a match that you just featured John Cena, The Rock, The Undertaker, and then beating a guy that's held the title for, what, 5 years? 4 or 5 years now? And then 3 days later, your competition is showing video from a fallout of a pay-per-view that happened almost a year ago.
Right. Involving one of your talent.
Now. Exactly. Involving a guy who already works for the other company.
Right. It's just, it's asinine.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe that they actually expect people to tune into that.
Yeah, we all know what happened. So,
yeah.
Oh, well. Got any last minute thoughts on, actually, well, we do have to mention one last thing. Your favorite sign.
Yes. Yes. So Richie likes to talk shit on Philly and he invokes the name Hitchbot, but last night we found out why Hitchbot got attacked and killed.
Yeah,
well, he was a Cowboys fan. And as you know, fuck Dallas.